The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Code of conduct.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. This is the Code of Conduct with the King podcast. I am your host, Jay Spence, the King, and I am amped. I got my brother with me. Normally, I'd be by myself or I'd be having like some guests that, you know, I don't really know. So I got to get to know them on air in front of y'all. I got my brother, so I'm about to party tonight. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be a real good time. We started yesterday with part one of the roster predictions. So we did the offense last night. Seemed pretty easy. Today, I think this conversation might be a little different. I think it's going to take a completely different turn. So I'm just asking you all in advance not to cancel me. I don't want to be canceled. I love Bills Mafia. And I think Joe loves Bills Mafia too. So we don't want to be canceled. But listen, I am amped. I'm going to get right into it. So before I bring Joe in and before we start talking about the roster, I want to talk about a little bit of the news that's been going on around the NFL today and I guess over the weekend. First of all, training camp is here. Football's back. I'm hoping everybody is excited as I am. Cause I feel like Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, wherever you get your information for teams, wherever you get your fix for Bills information, I just feel like it's been negative lately because of, you know, everything from the COVID vaccination to, you know, people coming at Cody Ford or other players or whatever. It's just been messy, you know, over the last few weeks. And it seems like every year, really during July, it just gets rough. I remember last year, everybody was upset about the Pegulas and when they laid people off during COVID. And then they were upset about, if I'm not mistaken, there was a player. I can't remember what player last year, but something else happened. So like every year around July, you know, it just gets kind of mean. It gets ugly. So I'm happy that football is back. I know we don't have the games yet, but they're coming soon. But at least we get to have actual news like, hey, he had a good day at practice today or he didn't have a good day at practice today. And in this battle, or whatever, I'm excited. I'm so excited. So the first piece of news is that Aaron Rodgers is actually going to end up back in Green Bay this year. Like I thought, because in reality, I know he's now created leverage for himself for next year. Before I go there. So apparently it looks like he's coming back this year under the understanding or with an agreement that next year he can pretty much opt out or pick where he wants to play or he can trade for. I don't know exactly what the details of the contract are. I have to look them up. But I do know that there was some clause or some form that he'll be able to get out and he can go play wherever he wants to play and do what he wants to do. And that makes him happy. But it makes Green Bay fans happy that he's coming back today. Or this week for training camp. My question is, you know, I've been seeing all last week, like people upset, like in Bills Mafia, in the fan base saying like, hey, we don't even like our team is arguing. It's dysfunctional. You know, I don't see. And this is not a jab at anybody. I think Aaron said, you know, like Aaron Quinn from Cover One. That's my guy. I think he said over there, like, I don't see, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs or the Bucks or whoever, like he named a few teams. And he's like, I don't see them doing this. But then you look at a Super Bowl contender in Green Bay. You mean to tell me you would want that type of dysfunction or that level of toxic environment as opposed to the Bills, like just kind of like not agreeing about if you should or shouldn't take the vaccine or if you, you know, like to me, that's just conversation. Me and Joe have conversations off the air. The only difference is it's off the air. You know, we're not on Twitter. Like, we have a lot of times Joe and I have different views on things and we talk about it like brothers. And then it's like, oh, I get your point, or I get your point, or I don't. And it is what it is. On Twitter, that's exactly what's happening. You saw Jerry Hughes tell him, like, yo, you're my brother. I love you. I'm not saying you're right or wrong. What I'm saying is there are rules, blah, 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 blah. It wasn't as dramatic as a lot of the people in the fan base wanted to make it seem. But what I will tell you is Green Bay situation is ugly. There's under no circumstances would I ever want my franchise guy, the best player. And I guess that can kind of be debatable, because I was going to say the best quarterback you ever had. Green Bay has had a history of quarterbacks, but I truly do think that Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback I've ever seen. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I think he was better. Maybe not as far as accomplishments, or maybe not with whatever, but I think he was better than Brett Favre, or is better than Brett Favre ever was. So, you know, y'all can yell at me. Y'all can beat me up about that. Is what it is. But I would rather have my team debating about whether or not somebody should do something that's personal, because it really doesn't matter to the next guy. So like that personal decision that Cole Beasley decides to make or not make, it really doesn't matter once the season starts. But all season, they're going to be talking in Green Bay after every game. The media is going to be asking them, so did this change how you feel about Green Bay? You thinking about staying next year? Or you're going to be asking other players, so what's it like when Aaron is like not committed to the team for the future? It's going to be a distraction all year. We are not going to be talking about Cole Beasley getting the vaccine or not getting the vaccine. We're not going to be talking about that. We're not going to be talking about Cody Ford playing musical chairs if the team keeps him at right guard, or if the team puts him at left guard, or like if they keep him wherever they put him. The stuff that we've just decided to be bored and argue about over the summer, we're not going to be talking about that stuff, because we actually have football and we're going to be talking about that. But football is the dysfunction in Green Bay right now. That is what they're talking about. They're not talking about stuff that we're going to forget about once the season starts. Every single time you watch Green Bay play, you are going to be talking about what the hell is Aaron Rodgers going to do next year. Every single time. So I don't know. And I'll bring Joe in right now and kind of get his opinion on this and see, because the way I feel, even though Aaron Rodgers is the best player, in my opinion, even though he has one of the best wide receivers in Devontae Adams, and even though like they've done all of these things to turn Green Bay into to me, a powerhouse last year, they absolutely should have made it to the Super Bowl. They should have beat Tampa Bay, but they didn't. So let's see. Joe, my man, my brother, the host of the Overreaction Pod, the co-host of the Hump Day Hotline on Wednesday nights with your boy Jay Spencer King. What is going on, my bestie?
I'm good, doing good. You can call me your man. You can call me bestie. You can call me whatever. Just don't call me late for dinner. It's good.
No, we don't be late for food. That's right.
Especially if my wife's cooking.
Oh, no. If Beth is cooking, I'm there. I might fly in just for that. First of all, if y'all don't follow, well, you don't post anymore on that page, do you?
My Average Joe Cooks page?
Yeah.
I have not posted there in a while. I've thought about reviving it. So, yeah, there was a time when I had committed. We're way off topic already. There was a time when I committed to cooking every Monday night for my wife, because my wife is a borderline chef. She's not. She's just a really good cook. She's a foodie. And I did. I started an Instagram account to keep myself like accountable to it. Like that way, like people would like keep me in check. And I did it for a real long time. And I made some banging food. But my wife is 10 times the cook I am. 10 times.
Man, first of all, we're not going to go in, because you're right. We're already off topic. But but first of all, you're right. Like she's one of the best cooks I've ever just first of all, she's awesome. So
it's almost like it's almost like we're friends outside the show. That's like,
yeah,
right.
It's almost weird. Like I know you, like you're my guy.
Right. Exactly.
But listen, we've been, you know, you've been a part of it just like me. You know, we've been around all summer. We've been consistent with our shows, yeah. You know, so it's been tough. We've been creating content when there really hasn't been much content to create, at least positive news. The Bills have had it's been a rough summer as far as like the news cycles. Green Bay has been quiet, really, besides the Aaron Rodgers thing. But now going into training camp, it seems like it just doesn't seem right, man. What's your perspective on that? Would you rather, and it shouldn't be a tit for tat, but would you rather take what we're dealing with right now in Buffalo, to me, in my opinion, that's something that's going to be forgettable in a week? Or would you take, you got another shot at being a very great team for this year, but after this year, you don't know what's going to happen to your team. Like, how do you feel about those situations?
Hell yes. I would rather have our situation. Hell, get me a shirt that says, hell yes. Like, and on the back, Beasley didn't get vaccinated. Like give me that all day long. I mean, can you imagine what Bills Mafia in Buffalo would be like if we had Aaron Rodgers as our quarterback or Deshaun Watson as our quarterback? Like either one of those guys, and we spent the whole entire freaking offseason in silence from the organization on what they're going to do, because that's also in the news that Deshaun Watson reported to camp so he wouldn't get fined. Like, the dude's there. Aaron Rodgers is going to show up. Aaron Rodgers to me is a petulant child. He's acting like a spoiled brat. And I don't remember who said it, if it was Nate Geary or somebody, but somebody said that, like, the dude scorched earth his parents, which he did. He literally, like, cut his parents off. I don't know you, his brother, everybody. If you don't think for a second that if he's capable of scorch-earthing his parents, that he wouldn't do it to the Packers, it's absolutely coming. The dude is just a spoiled brat. At this point, he's showing what a spoiled little rotten child he is, in my opinion.
That's your take on it.
Yeah.
Wow. So, I'll respectfully disagree. The way I look at it is, for instance, right now, Josh Allen is the face of this franchise, yep, and he will be for the foreseeable future. Like, there's no way that we're looking at this team in the next probably 5 to 10 years that doesn't have Josh Allen on it. So when you have a guy that you look at that level, I feel like he should be a big part of all the decisions. Not necessarily, he's not the GM, of course, you know, but I feel like things should be ran by him. I think if he has a preference for something, if he's that good, great quarterbacks have had that. You know, when guys want
for better or worse, players, for better or worse.
I mean, touche. But Aaron Rodgers has been for better for a long time.
Right.
And they haven't supported him. They haven't get the years that they've supported him. He's made it to the NFC Championship or the Super Bowl. When he's had both a good defense and guys on offense with him, he's had a running game plus some receivers. They do well.
Right.
When they don't have a defense, they don't do well. So in my mind, I'm looking at it as if it's like, look, if I'm the quarterback on that team and I feel like I'm doing great and I'm balling out for you every week and I'm breaking records and I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and I say, yo, I love Jake Kumerow, I love Hair Jesus or whatever we call it, Touchdown Jesus. That's what we call him in Buffalo. So it's like, you know, if Aaron Rodgers comes out and says this on Sunday and then Monday they cut him, I might feel kind of bad. Or if my favorite quarterback's coach is Alex Van Pelt and I just love him and I want Alex around me all the times because he gets me and I get him and we're awesome. And then they let go of Alex Van Pelt when I said, I like this guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I look at that as like a slap in the face from the organization. And it's like, okay, if you're going to slap me in the face, okay, I'll slap you back. So that's how I see it. But again, your take isn't awful, you know, like, yeah, I could see him being a big baby about it.
There's just a point for me where he's being a spoiled child. You know, when you look at, and it took me a second to Google this. So from 2005 to 2009, he signed a 5-year contract worth $7.7 million. 2009 to 2014, he made 6 years, $63 million. 2013 to 2019, $110 million, and he signed another contract, I think, for $134 million. And when you talk about quarterbacks that have had say in the room or in management, I don't know that it's ever worked out great for management to have the quarterback in there going, I want this guy and I want that guy. I want that guy off the roster, but I want this guy. Tom Brady never had that. And all that dude did was win Super Bowls with Bill Belichick. I mean, and obviously Bill Belichick is not who's the head coach there. I was going to say McCarthy. It's not Mike McCarthy. It's right at the tip of my tongue. Chris Jenke knows it, I'm sure. It's right on the tip. Head coach of the Packers.
Oh, and which is escaping my mind. Is that, like the old people at church would say, is that the tip of your tongue?
Anyways, my point is the dude, you know, none of those checks from the Green Bay Packers ever bounced. None of them. So at some point in time, you're the football player and you've been in management for a very long time. You know how it goes. Mm-hmm. I've been in management. I was a chief of staff for 30 employees. There was no point in my life, in my career, where one of my employees, no matter how important they were, walked in my office and said, look, this is what I think we should do. It was like, well, I tell you what, I'm going to decide what we're going to do. I appreciate the feedback, but at the end of the day, I'm going to decide. And if you don't like it, you can go on down the road. Clearly it's Aaron Rodgers, but there's just an aspect, Matt LaFleur, that is the name. Thank you, Chris. There's just an aspect to this whole situation. I just feel like he could have handled it better versus ghosting the team. That's just not mature. It's not what a 30-something-year-old man does. You don't ghost your employer. If you ghosted your employer, that's called job abandonment, and you're gone.
Yep. No call, no show.
No call, no show. One day, they're going to call you. 2 days, maybe they call you. 3 days, it's like, we're going to start writing them up. And by day five, it's like, well, he's abandoned this position. He's out of here. And, you know, I know that it's Aaron Rodgers. There's just an aspect of, like, they respected him enough to never let one of those checks bounce. He should at least respect them enough to say, you know what, I'm not feeling it. This, and I know that he put it out there in the media that he wanted to be traded. I don't know. For me, he could have handled it more maturely. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. Absolutely. I guess I agree with that. But then at the same time, it's almost like when you're fed up, it's one of those things where it's like you try to handle it maturely with the other person. It's like you keep going to them and saying, like, hey, man, I said I like this guy and you cut him. I said I like this guy and you fired him and whatever. At some point, if you feel like every, you know, like in a relationship, man, if me and you are friends and I'm like, hey, Joe, I don't like when you call me, I don't know, whatever, like just a fun name. And it's like, I don't like it. And you continue to do it after I vocalize to you, I don't like it.
True.
And then it's like, I try to be nice a bunch of times. I try to be nice. And then it's like, okay, you've been doing this thing for 15 years or 10 years. I'm done. I'm not talking to you no more.
The problem is,
I feel like that's kind of where he is.
The problem is the paychecks keep coming.
Well, I mean, it's a problem because you're right, but it's not a problem because, you know, the NFL gives you guaranteed money. That's how they do it. Shout out to my girl, Kay Gunn, Kristen Kimmick from the Bills Mafia Babe. She's in the house. She loves the shirt that I'm rocking. I'm rocking the Bills Mafia Babe shirt. Yeah,
Kristen Kimmick, she slid into my DMs today, and apparently my Bills Mafia Babes t-shirt got lost in the mail.
Oh, snaps. We gotta figure that out. But quick announcement, actually. So with her being in here, the chop up is coming back. The first week of the season will be coming back, except it's going to be going live Saturday nights as opposed to Sundays after the game. It's going to be a pregame show. We're going to go live at 9 p.m. on Saturday evenings. It's going to have K-Gun, Kristen in it. It's going to have my girl Angelina in it. It's going to have my man Steros for the girls from Cover One, and then your boy Jay Spencer King. So we're going to shift a little bit, and I'm trying to be more inclusive and diversify a little bit and actually include different audiences that I feel like can bring some good value to the table. And I think Kristen and Angelina both know their stuff. They're good stuff. You know, like, they got good stuff. So I'm looking forward to it. Also, another announcement, I guess. I got announcements. Got them going. So obviously I know everybody knows about the party that's going on at Soho. That who is it? Cold Front Report. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm tripping.
We'll both be there.
We will be there. Cold Front Report is hosting a party at Soho for Bills Mafia to get together and love each other and get together before the home opener. That's Friday night. Saturday, we are going to do the damn thing. We're going to circle the wagons. Bills Mafia Babes, Poncho's Army, and your boy Jay Spencer King. We're throwing it together. We're going to circle the wagons. And we just going to have it. We're going to take it back to like a nostalgic feeling. We're going to skate like it was when I was a kid, man. So everybody come. It's $15 to get in, $3 for skate rentals. But it's really going to be just a good Bills Mafia party. It's going to be a good time. Bring your kids. Please bring your kids. We're going to party it up. So I'm making all these announcements. Let's get into the show, man. I done talked 20 minutes without even getting to the topic.
Well, 2 seconds. Brian Freedom, thanks for being a part of the show. Messages in or sends a comment. Is the kick returner, punt returner job the biggest concern in 2021, knowing Andre Roberts' high level of play? Who's been fielding kicks with our special teams crew this offseason? Brian, we talked about this at length last night on the podcast from yesterday on the Overreaction Show. I would encourage you to jump onto the Rumblings YouTube channel and watch that one back. Unless you want to talk about it, I don't know that we necessarily need to. I would recommend that Brian goes back and watches. If anybody wants to hear about the offense, special teams, yesterday was your show, right?
Well, I mean, I can talk, you know, I talk about Andre Roberts any day. So if Brian hasn't been a frequent listener of the Code of Conduct, I am probably, and I said this last night, so I'll say it again. I am probably the biggest Andre Roberts fan who isn't actually related to him or know him personally. Andre Roberts is my guy. And I think that the Buffalo Bills fans who have all been clamoring for Isaiah McKenzie to take on that role. I'm not saying that I don't think Isaiah McKenzie is not capable. I believe he is extremely capable of doing anything. Last season, we saw him pretty much play wide receiver. We saw him be a gadget guy. We saw him, you know, in week 17 against the Dolphins, we saw him run back a punt. We saw him do A, B, C, D. We saw him play cornerback, you know, like a couple years ago against the Jets. So Isaiah McKenzie is the jack of all trades. So when I say this, this is not a negative. I don't like Isaiah. What it is, Andre Roberts is elite. Andre Roberts is the definition of elite. So when we're talking about Stephon Diggs on offense and we're like, yo, that dude is the, he's one of the best wide receivers in the league. Depending on who you're talking to, he's the best receiver in the league. Y'all need to put some respect on my guy Andre Roberts' name when it comes to special teams, when it comes to punt returns, when it comes to kickoff returns. There's a couple that can be mentioned in the same conversation with him, but it's not everybody. Andre Roberts has consistently set the Bills up to be very effective on offense because of what he did on special teams, his vision, his decision making. It's not just the vision. He knows when to come out. He knows when not to come out. He knows when to fair catch it. Those little things like decision. I wish Bruce was in here. I don't know if he is or isn't, but Bruce has, he did a show one time. I think it was towards the end of the season where he talked about the decision making of Andre Roberts is probably the biggest thing that benefited the Buffalo Bills this year. Look, or last year. I'm concerned. We don't have anything on film that makes me believe that we are going to see a pickup or like right where we left off from last season on special teams. And as much as everybody knows, Nate Burleson is my guy. Like, I look up to the dude. I kind of, in a way, kind of model a lot of the things that I do after what he does. I think Nate Burleson is that dude. He had a take last week that I just flat out disagreed with. Mm-hmm. He said that, you know, they need to turn the special teams into a strength. How about they score some? He clearly didn't watch the games. When you look at statistics and you say, oh, they only had two touchdowns, it doesn't mean it was a weakness. Yeah, it would be nice to get 6 points on special teams out of nowhere. You know, it's nice. It's lovely. But guess what? It's also really nice to consistently start at the 40-yard line as opposed to starting at the 25. Mm-hmm. Those 15 extra yards, it helps with field goal position. It helps with scoring position. So I'm sorry. I went off on this whole tangent about Andre Roberts. Brian, I feel like it is a concern of mine, and I am going out on a limb to say that Buffalo Bills fans, we will start seeing the tweets that we miss Andre Roberts as of week three. It probably won't take that long, but I'm saying week three, we going to miss Andre Roberts. And every time I see this dude do something special down in Houston, you know what tweet is coming, Joe. You know what tweet.
Bring it, bro. I'm on your side. I think the only thing I would say is that Brant was talking about the fact that the Bills have only scored two special teams touchdowns, I think in 5 years or 6 years. He was literally talking about the ability for the Bills to score on special teams, which they haven't done. Andre Roberts is a machine when it comes to returning kicks and punts, and he's incredibly intelligent, incredibly fast, but he obviously has not gotten. So, and of those two that were scored, one was Micah Hyde in 19, and then one was Isaiah McKenzie in 20. So that's the problem. That's what Kyle Brandt was saying. And obviously Roberts is gone, so it doesn't matter. But what was that last one
you said? Well, Brandon wanted to know, you know, how do you feel about losing Andre Roberts? So I'll ask you that. Like,
I don't get it. He went to the Houston Texans for 2 years, $5 million, $2.5 million, and I'm sure the second year is voidable. The Bills are $9 million under the cap, and they could have made that room when they let him go. I don't know what they're thinking. The only thing I can think, and I said this yesterday, is that the Bills feel like they saw enough from Isaiah McKenzie in that Week 17 football game against the Miami Dolphins that they're like, okay, this kid's ready, and we're going to get him for $1 million. That's the only thing I can think, and it's either bust or boom, right? There's mm-hmm. no in the middle. Isaiah McKenzie is either going to do it, or he's going to go back to the fumbling ways that he was in Buffalo, then when he went to Denver, and then obviously the Bills were like, you're done. You're done doing this.
I just wish that, you know, all year I was tweeting out pretty much almost every week, extend Andre Roberts.
Yep.
And I just wish the Bills would have believed me once, like just listen to me one time. Like, I don't expect Sean McDermott to ever like take a podcaster's opinion and be like, yep, that's exactly what I need to do. I don't expect that.
Yeah, but man,
I wish, like, Brandon, Sean, if y'all ever listening, like y'all should have listened to that one. Like, nothing else. I don't care about what else you do. I was wrong. When the draft came up, I said, no, don't pick Josh Allen. I want Josh Rosen.
Me too.
I want, you know, like, so I was wrong. I get it. Brandon, you were right. Or Sean. Brandon wasn't here at that point. Sean, you were right. I get it. I didn't want, you know.
Brandon was here for the Allen pick. He wasn't here for the Trey pick the year before.
Trey. Yep. So I mean, like, you know, I was wrong with certain things. I'm not gonna act like I'm perfect. I am not a GM for a reason. I do a podcast for a reason. But extend Andre Roberts, man. Like, you gotta. Okay, moving on. So yesterday we talked about our picks for what we felt like the offense would look like, And I think it was pretty consistent. I felt like we agreed on everything except I said that I see a route there where I feel like, you know, the team might have lost favor with Devin Singletary. And I feel like they may actually look to try to build his trade value to trade him. How do you feel about, and I know we talked about it last night, but just as a refresher for people, how do you feel about that take now that you kind of had a little bit to sleep on it and think about it?
It's not outside of the realm of possibility of what we've seen Brandon Bean do in the past, build up a guy and move him because he knows he's going to have to cut him. Right. I mean, we've seen Brandon Bean do that. So it's not outside the realm of possibility. I still am waffling between Matt Breida and Antonio Williams. There's a great deal of just heart in me that wants to see Antonio Williams. I'm not on the wagon of believing that Matt Breida is the answer. If the Bills wholly commit to running the wide zone offense as far as in the run scheme, then maybe Matt Breida is the answer. But I just don't feel from everybody that I've talked to, all the stuff that I've done, you know, the study that I've done, the conversations I've had, I just feel like the Bills are potentially going to go back to a pin and pull. We could be wrong, but Matt Breida fits. It's funny thing is Zach Moss sort of fits. He fits a zone run scheme, not a wide zone run scheme. It'll be interesting for me. There's definitely not room for all five of those guys, right? There's five of them. So there's Moss, Singletary, Antonio Williams, Breida. There's four of them.
If you include Wade, you know, right, I know everybody wants to talk about Wade.
Dude, I put that out there today in that tweet? Like, hey, Bills Mafia, who are you excited to see when camp opens? By the way, tomorrow, the players report. You failed to say that. The Bills are back in town. The Bills.
No, I said that at the top.
Oh, did you? Gotcha. Well, yeah. I missed it. I don't know what I was doing. So let's get excited. But I put that out there. Who are people excited to see? And like four or five people said Christian Wade. I'm like, really? That's who you're excited to see? Christian Wade?
I'm not shocked. You know, everybody loves, come on, man, Wade. And I get why. He has like this charismatic smile and, you know, his accent is just awesome and he's funny and he likes to like interact with everybody. So I get why you fall in love with him. Same thing with Isaiah McKenzie. I think, you know, like he's one of the most fan friendly dudes that we've had in a long time. Like I know Deion is super dope and we got a lot of good guys on the team, but when you talk about you talk about Isaiah McKenzie and even Christian Wade, like their engagement with the fan base is just next level. Like it's different.
No, it's true. And Brandon Greenfield adds in there, the Breida brings a different element to the offense. He does. He has speed. He has speed that kills. And as I said, as if we're wrapping up the running backs, as I said yesterday as well, he could not break through to the starting role beyond Gaskins in Miami. And all he did in San Francisco was continue to give the San Francisco 49ers a reason to replace him. So I just don't have that much faith in Matt Breida. We'll see. I'm excited. If Matt Breida turns out to be a 1,000-yard rusher, you better believe, if we want to make a bet right now, if he, you know, I'll buy a Breida jersey. Like I'm good with my word. I bought a Corey Bajorquez jersey last year. I would absolutely buy it if he went
nuts. You said 1,000?
1,000 yards? Yeah.
So. I can't make that bet. Like even if we was doing something for free, I can't make that bet. I don't believe in the Buffalo Bills. Let me say this right. I don't believe in the Buffalo Bills coaching staff enough for us to get 1,000-yard rusher in a season. I believe in them enough to make Josh Allen be the dude that he is. And like, I believe in that part of it. I don't believe that we have 1,000-yard rusher on this team unless you just let Josh go crazy if he wants to.
They definitely approach the running back situation at least with two, at the very least with two running backs in that very defensive line minded respect of we're going to rotate guys. We're not going to just have Dalvin Cook out there and he's going to carry the ball. If we run the ball 60 times, he's going to carry 52 of them. They don't have that mindset. They're more of a, you know, if there's 62 carries, 32, 30, 28, 34, like they're going to split them. So it'll be interesting to see who they split those carries with.
Yeah. I'm interested to see it. You know, like I said, I don't hate Devin by any means. I would love for him to make the roster and do well. Like if he can be the guy that we saw against the Houston Texans in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Give me Devin. Give me Devin.
Christian Wade is Lionel Gates.
Like, I love Christian Wade. I just really don't understand why the fan base is so enamored.
There's a name. There's a name for you, Chris Jenke. Christian Wade is Lionel Gates.
All right. Well, let's get into it. Now we're going to pivot. We're going to talk about the defense. And last night, Joe drove the conversation. So what I'll do is I'm going to actually relinquish this part of the show to kind of let you drive as well.
This is your show. Well, run it.
Well, yeah, but you do this part well. And I'm honest enough and I'm man enough to admit that, you are a far better moderator than I am. Now, interviewer, I think I, you and Bruce have talked to me enough to let me know I got the interview thing down pat. But
good.
But as far as moderation, my dude, you got it. So I'm gonna turn this over to you, and we're just gonna, you know, I'll run the comments and all that stuff. But yeah, go for it.
Welcome to the Code of Overreaction Show with your co-host Joe Miller and your other co-host Jay Spence, the King. But yeah, this is how we overreact. Anyways, on Monday, special episode on Monday, but this is fun. So do you want, so same question that we started with yesterday. First of all, let's do this. We finished the show yesterday and we just need to get numbers first because we don't want to break the rules. So on offense, how many offensive players do you have? I think I had 28, 7, 14, 17. Yes, I've got 28 offensive players on the
27.
You've got 27 plus three because we know that Tyler Bass, Hawk, and Reed Ferguson are going to make this football team. So we're at I'm at 31. Where are you at?
Mm-hmm. I'm at 30.
You're at
30. I have 23 players that I can add.
I have 22.
This is tough, man.
I have 20. Like, I have 22.
Just looking at the D line, this is so tough.
But do you want
just to start the D line?
You want to start with the D line? Do you want to start someplace a little more? The D line. The D line is the conversation, right?
Yeah.
All right. So we'll start
the D line and the linebackers. To me, I think the linebackers have a conversation in this that.
The problem that I have with the linebacker situation, and you're gonna school me and give me information, is there's a whole bunch of names there that I'm like, I don't know who this guy is. He's gone. I don't know who that guy is. He's gone. Right. Versus the wide receivers. There's a lot of them. We've got 12 rostered wide receivers, but I know all those names and I pretty much know what most of them bring to the table or why they're here. There's a lot of there's a lot of linebackers. I'm like, who is that dude? And why is he on this football team right now? Right.
Well, I'll tell you what, the biggest question in the linebacker room for me is who's going to get cut. So Tyrell Adams is here.
We'll get there. Let's start with the D line.
Yeah.
Defensive line. So who do you have? And we're not going to go. Do you want to go ends, tackles, or do you want to just name them all?
We could do ends and then tackles. We could do that.
Ends and tackles. All right. So go ahead with your ends.
So ends, obviously Jerry Hughes, the man, the myth, the legend is making it. Greg Rousseau, our number one round or first round draft pick. He's making it.
Right.
Carlos Boogie Basham, my guy, he's making it. He's about to bash him. We about to see a beast. We about to see a beast. So I'm excited about that. Here's the tricky part, because yesterday I said, I think F.A. Obada makes the roster. I still do think F.A. Obada makes the roster, but I think it has to come at the expense of either A.J. Epenesa or Mario Addison. I don't think all three of those guys make the roster. I do think depending on how many people they want to keep for the line in general, you might sneak, you know, but you're not keeping all three, F.A. Obada, A.J. Epenesa, and Mario Addison. So where I'm at, I think Mario Addison, he restructured his contract and he did some things that I can't see the Buffalo Bills taking dead space like that, just based off of what we've learned about Brandon Bean. I think it's AJ Epenesa. And I know that's crazy because he's our draft pick and he's developed and he's this.
We need Mario Addison is here. Hot take with fire gif or like video.
Mew, 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 mew. I got my horns. Mew, 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 mew.
Holy crap, dude.
Drop it. I think it's
AJ Epenesa gone. Woo.
I mean, unless they're going to. And this is what I'm saying. I'm speaking strictly on a defensive end standpoint. Now, if we're going to talk about like rotation and just moving guys around and we're saying, okay, we just want the best 9 or 10 guys for the defensive line, then okay. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is if we're breaking it down by defensive ends, you can't, there's no way possible because the team loves Darryl Johnson. Last year, the team was trying to find a way to get Mike Love. They were trying. So the team loved these guys. I like AJ. But what I'm saying is they brought F.A. Obada here for a reason. Right. He's long. He's freakishly gifted as far as athleticism. I would prefer it be Mario Addison. I like A.J. I want A.J. to stay. But I'm talking about the dead cap. I'm talking about the way Brandon has shown us that he operates. I just don't see him letting Mario go after restructuring and doing everything that he did for his contract.
Sure, sure, sure. So what I've got is Jerry Hughes clearly making this football team. I've got Boogie Basham making this football team and as well as Groot, first round, second round draft picks, obviously making this team. I've got F.A. Obada making this football team, and I've got A.J. Epenesa making this football team. I think the starting ends are Jerry Hughes and A.J. day one. And I think that rotation comes into effect, and they're going to use FA on the opposite side and probably opposite Jerry quite a bit. They're going to try to use that length. The interesting thing about what the Bills have done is they've gone and got two guys, maybe three with Boogie Basham. They've gotten three guys, FA, Groot, and Boogie, who can play inside and outside. So for me, I see them keeping, I see Daryl Johnson gone off this football team, which to me is going to hurt. I see Mario Addison as a bubble player on this football team. He is gone, and I believe that puts me at nine. When I get to the rest of them, I'll end up being at nine defensive linemen. But I've got Hughes, Basham, F.A., Groot, and A.J., which is a very young group outside of Jerry. But I think that's exactly what they want.
Well, Apex said that Obata plays more defensive tackle than defensive end, and he's right. So with that being said, like I said, the way it's listed, they have him as a defensive end.
Yep.
So the way I'm saying this, I'm only speaking as if we're going like defensive end numbers, then defensive tackle numbers. But if we're going defensive line, then yes, I'm not at all saying that AJ should be gone, because I think if Obata plays in and then they're going defensive ends, I think AJ should be on the. I like AJ, and I think he's developing. I'm a big supporter of allowing guys to develop and not canceling them or cutting them after the first couple of years.
Right.
But I'm also looking at what I feel is common knowledge about who our GM is. And as much as I think it should be Mario Addison that's on the bubble, or it should be Mario Addison that try to trade him. I don't know. I don't see him being cut.
One thing we've learned from this coaching staff, specifically the offense, and I've made this comment, I think on the Hump Day Hotline before, in 2019, the biggest play that Cole Beasley was effective at was that in that 10 yards up and in route that he ran against the Cowboys. He scored on it like four or five times. That was the route they ran in 2019 over and over again with Cole Beasley. They didn't run it in 2020. And this offensive staff and this defensive staff is very good about changing things up and being different, being multiple, and throwing stuff at teams that they haven't seen. All that to say this, there's a reality for us to see Jerry Hughes, Star Latulale, let me back that up. There's a reality for us to see on this defensive line, Jerry Hughes, Ed Oliver, Groot, and F.A. Obata. And when they go to line up, the offensive lineman not knowing who's coming and from where. Because when they go down to their three-point stance in the middle of the cadence, they could switch and flop all over the place because three of those guys can play inside and outside, which is going to put them in. Actually, Oliver can play inside and outside. Groot can play inside and outside. F.A. Obata can play inside and outside. And you know what Jerry Hughes brings. So there's just an aspect of like, there's going to be some breeding of some confusion. Imagine those guys with Edmonds next to them in the middle and Milano just back 5 yards playing that amoeba defense that Bill Belichick made famous. I mean, those guys, it's like, I don't know what's happening. I'm just scared. I'm like, I'm about to crap my pants as an offensive lineman because these dudes that are standing over me are all fast, all quick twitch, all long. Right?
Yeah. So, well, Brenning brings up a good question. He's asking, is it a thing to put four ends on the line at once? I've heard about them kicking Basham and Russo inside. Could we see Hughes, Addison, Basham, and Russo on the line?
Yeah, that's
at the same time.
Yeah, and Basham is another one of those guys that they've got listed as an end, and there's an argument that can be made for him moving inside, almost like the backup Ed Oliver, if by some chance Harrison Phillips potentially doesn't make this football team. However, when you look at his size, you've got to wonder if they're beginning to groom him to be a one technique. We'll see.
Trigg says that Greg Rousseau has said that he loves playing the defensive tackle more than defensive end. I haven't personally heard that or seen that, but I mean, if he enjoys that, I mean, cool. But I think where he's going to be effective is on that end with his length, with his speed. I honestly, I can't wait to see him, man. Like, I know I was disappointed draft night. I can't wait to see him.
Yeah, for sure. Me too. I don't know that he's built like a defensive tackle. There aren't many 6'9" defensive tackles, 6'8", 6'9" defensive tackles in the league. So that are svelte. Like, he's not a big fat dude. He's ripped.
yeah, for sure.
So I got Hughes, Basham, F.A., Groot, and A.J., which is a very, young group outside of Hughes. Yours was different, which was good. And I understand your take, and I get it. I don't know that Mario Addison has any trade value.
I agree. And I also feel, so that's why I'm saying I feel like he makes the roster and they have to make a tough decision. Like this year, it may not be AJ Epenesa, but I promise you, Bills fans, please don't go into this like falling in love with everybody like we do every year, because somebody that you love from last year and somebody you love from whenever, somebody's going to be on another team.
Yep.
We're watching this thing come September, somebody's going to be on another team.
Several somebodies.
Yeah. So, and that's what I said, like, and I get it. It's like, you know, the comments went nuts when I said, I think it's AJ Epenesa. Like, I get it. He's our draft pick and he's developing. But what I'm saying is Mario doesn't have trade value. Brandon Beanis, we've seen him create trade value out of players that it was like, because we were going to cut, who's our guy that, that went to Cleveland and now everybody misses him?
Wyatt Teller.
At the time, Teller didn't have any trade value. And we ended up getting like a fifth round pick. And it's like, so Brandon Bean has been known to do these things. But what I'm saying is, I don't see Mario being built up like that. And with the restructuring of his deal, I don't see them accepting or eating dead cap. Now, they could prove me wrong. They could be like, you know what? At this point, it don't matter. Like the cap is dead. We got our team and we built for the future. It's okay if we eat it for this season. Maybe they prove me wrong.
Right.
Maybe they do. I just don't see it. I don't see it.
Defensive tackles. Who you got?
Defensive tackles. I'm going Ed Oliver. Obviously I'm going Starla Tulele. Both those guys are making the team. Mm-hmm. I've been hearing people say that my man Harrison Phillips is on the bubble. I don't think so. I don't think so. I think Harrison Phillips is going to come in. I think last year he was recovering from an ACL injury. Like it was his first year off an ACL tear.
Two of them.
And
he tore them both.
As somebody who has been recovered from an ACL, I can promise you it's not like, yeah, just because you work out and you're healthy and you're cleared enough to play, it's not the same. You don't have the same explosion. You don't trust your knee the same way. You don't want to run on it the way you used to run on it. And I promise you, this year, you're going to see a Harrison Phillips that we all were looking forward to seeing when we drafted him. That's how I see it. Zimmer's gone. He's gone.
That's the one you've got? That's interesting because I've got – so mine is a little bit different. I've got Ed Oliver making this football team, Starla Tulele making this football team. I've got Harrison Phillips and Justin Zimmer. I've got Vernon Butler gone, which is funny because he did the same thing Addison did, restructured, lowered his number. However, it's still a hard hit. I got Butler and Addison both off of this football team. I just think that was an incredibly failed experiment last year. Incredibly failed experiment.
Yeah, no, I agree. My man Brian Bauer said, hey, let's not forget, before Harrison got hurt, he was taking snaps away from Star. He was not fully healthy last year, and I agree 100%. Yeah. Star, now granted, I'm excited to have Star back. You know, like, he's making this roster. But
I was at that Bengals game, and from where I was sitting, the Bills were going in this direction, so they were flowing to my left, and I remember, or no, I'm sorry, they were on defense, and the Bengals were going to my right, so the Bills defense was on the right, going, you know, facing the left. The play happened, and Harrison Phillips was sitting on the ground, and you could tell he was like, I'm not so sure that I might not be hurt. The dude got up, and like the Bengals weren't in a hurry up, but they were rushing to the line. Got back down in a 3-point stance and like went down like a ton of bricks a second time. So he actually tore his ACL in the first play, wasn't sure if he was hurt, and then tore his second one when he tried to like splint his bad leg. His left leg tried to take over for it and actually tore the second play. So he literally tore it. And after that, they carted him off. It was crazy. And it was heartbreaking because he was coming on to that point. The dude was coming on hard. He was actually turning into what we want, everything that we wanted him to be.
I think the Bills have done a great job with getting guys on this roster that's going to make it very difficult as fans to like take cut down day. So, you know, really everything that Joe and I, everything that we're saying right now is like next week, I can completely backtrack and be like, nope. I think because honestly, it's talent across the board. So, you know, look, I know I just said Zimmer. You think Zimmer makes it, you said, right?
Yeah, right now. I think that he brings more potential and he brings more value and he's more of a process guy than Vernon Butler is.
And see, I have the same take basically that I had about Mario Addison. They restructured him. They kind of got him to create some extra space. They'll take a hit as far as the cap. I just don't see it happening. Sure. But I think those are the two guys on defense that need to go. I do.
Yeah. Yeah, last year the Buffalo Bills were the highest paid defensive line in football, and they were one of the worst defensive lines in football for one reason or another.
I think we were on a hump day, and when we first signed F.A. Obada, I feel like it was a Wednesday, and I came on a show, and I'm like, Joe, did you realize, like, because I looked at his stats, and I was blah, 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 blah. He would have led the Bills in sacks last year with 5.5 sacks.
That's right.
So for the Buffalo Bills to pay what we paid for that defensive line, and a guy that we bring in from Carolina with 5.5 sacks on the year would have been the, we would have had a leader.
Right.
And come on, man. Like, yeah, so no. That, so I'm with you. I feel like what we had last year just wasn't working. And mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, hey, if you don't do your job good, and again, this is never anything personal. I just feel like the potential that Justin Zimmer does have, the potential that Harrison Phillips has, you keep those guys.
Right.
Keep those guys 100%.
Right. Linebackers. So the topic that we were about to broach, let's talk linebackers.
Okay. So linebackers, obviously my guy, Tremaine Edmonds. I'm with Tremaine. Like, Tremaine is my guy. The way last year, the campaign that I have for Andre Roberts this year, it is going to be Tremaine Edmonds, because it was too much disrespect during the offseason. People wanting to trade or cut my guy. People didn't want them to give him the fifth year option and talk about extending my guy. What? Okay. Anyway, he's making the roster. My guy, Tyler Matakovich, or however you say his name, I always mess it up.
Matakevich.
I'm gonna write it like that. I'm gonna just put it on my screen. Matakevich. Yeah, just Matakevich. But he's making a roster. That's my, you know, he showed out last year when you're looking at special teams, and he's consistently been one of the best special teams players in the league for years. It's not just last year when he came from Pittsburgh. That's why we signed him, because he's that guy.
He showed out in week 17 playing linebacker. He played well at linebacker in the second half of that football game.
Yep, 100%. Mm-hmm. Then I have Matt Milano, obviously. We extended him. He's a sure lock. I am still trying to figure out how Brandon Mean pulled that off. Like, I have no clue. This is where it gets tricky for me.
Right.
I'm going with Tyro Adams, and I think AJ Klein, even though he was defensive player of the week, and even though he showed up and did some things that we didn't think he could do because the team finally figured out how to use him, I think Tyrell Adams is that dude that's going to come in here and be like, all right, AJ, move. I need my spot. I think he's going to be the guy that you're going to see on the field a lot because he doesn't miss tackles. That run support, yeah. We're not going to suck like we did last year on run defense.
Right.
You know how we were getting gashed by Frank Gore? Joe, he averaged 5.6 yards on us last year, man. Frank Gore.
The way that you say names is just Kelvin Benjamin.
Because Benjamin, that's just disrespectful. Like, you had Josh Allen throwing to, come on, man. Like literally.
You had Josh Allen
throwing to this his rookie year. Like, anyway, this is what Josh Allen was doing his rookie year.
In 2009, at the end of the season, if it was 3rd and 2, especially in the Texans game, you had Josh Allen handing the ball off to that.
Come on, man. So and now he's a tight end.
For those of you listening to the podcast, he just held up a trash can.
Yeah, I did. I'm sorry. I keep forgetting.
I'm
using visuals and I can't. I'm sorry. I apologize. Got to remember from my preaching days. My bad. But anyway. That's amazing. I think Tyrell Adams is a lock. Like, I don't even think it's a question. I think this guy is on the team. I think he makes waves this season. I think if Bills fans don't know his name, you need to know it. Go Google him. Go YouTube him. He is on this team.
Right. So for me, you're keeping four linebackers. Traditionally, I don't know what the Buffalo Bills have kept as far as four or five. I've got them keeping five, and I've got them keeping all the guys you said and AJ Klein. Keeping in mind, four might be the answer because the Bills run a 4-2 base defense. As much as they're a 4-3, they run a 4-2 nickel. That's what they're in more than they are in anything else. There's a good chance or a good reality that they don't need a guy like AJ Klein, or they're, you know, that a guy like Tyrell Adams, if he's eligible, goes to the practice squad. I'm excited to see what this kid brings to. I'm right there with you as far as that goes. We know what we have in Milano. We know what we have in Edmonds. Obviously, we know why Matakevich is on this football team. Klein, you and I spent a lot of time last season in the first seven games. They actually kept six at the start of each year. Wow. That would cut down on our wide receiver numbers.
It would cut down on our wide receiver numbers, but if they do keep six, then obviously I'm keeping AJ Klein.
Right, for sure. And then that would put one more in there. I mean, a potential, if we're talking hypotheticals. And just so everybody knows, linebackers, Matt Milano, Andre, which, by the way, the Bills don't really have a strong side and a will because they don't really play them that way. Matt Milano, Andre Smith, Joe Giles-Harris. I don't know who that guy is. Tremaine Edmonds, Tyler Matakevich, Tyrell Dodson, who is listed behind Matakevich, which is interesting. They've got the backup for Tremaine Edmonds being Matakevich. Markell Lee. Strong side, AJ Klein, Tyrell Adams, Mike Bell. So if you're keeping six, right? So now you're keeping Klein and one more. Who's that answer?
If I'm keeping I'm actually keeping Andre Smith.
I was gonna say, I did not see enough from Tyrell Dodson to be like, that's the guy. That's the guy I want.
No, I like Tyrell. Tyrell is good. And you know, I don't know how his development has gone over the summer, but what I know is the team likes Tyrell, you know, yes. And he's shown a lot of positive signs that he might make, you know, but if out of the guys that are left, you know, Lee, Gauss Harris, Bell, I'm absolutely taking Andre Smith. Andre Smith is, he's not a guy that, like, he's not Tyrell Adams, but he's still solid. He's absolutely solid. He's had history in this league. If I'm not mistaken, it was Carolina, you know, the Carolina Express, but he's solid. And he has the experience that Sean McDermott likes to have in rooms, but I don't think that we need experience. Like, we don't need a seasoned vet when you have Milano, Edmonds, Tyler, Klein, Adams. You know, I think that Ross, that's pretty good. And I agree. He's good.
Yeah, Apex says that Gallus Harris is really good. We'll see, because you're talking about them trying to get through guys like Edmonds, Milano, right? They're going to have to show out well against some guys that are already here. It'll be interesting to see. It's tough. Six seems like, I think if they're gonna stretch a year where they're gonna cut at a position to gain more players at another position, particularly wide receiver, more than likely it's going to be at linebacker this year, in my opinion. Some of these guys, obviously, with a 16-man practice squad, some of these guys can go to practice squad. They can protect them a little bit. I'm sure the COVID protection rules will be in place this year again. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how that whole thing fans out. So Chris Jenke says that Gallus Harris is a good special teamer. He's essentially similar to what Andre Smith brings. So
the thing is, you know, when you look at his time in Jacksonville, it was pretty much every other week he was activated or put back to the practice squad, activated, then put back to the practice. So he's not as much as I want to agree and say he's a good player. And I want to, you know, I want to speak positively about everybody. But he's good and he's a special teams guy. But the Buffalo Bills have special teams guys already. Like, we have guys that I feel like are locks for special teams. So I just don't feel like he's not going to be able to crack the top four. He's not going to crack the top five in linebacker. So if he can't beat out the other guys who I feel like are locks on special teams, I just don't see him being active for the roster.
My guy, Brian Bowers, man, are you guys psyched about how stacked this Bills squad is? And a million fire emojis. Yes.
I am.
Give me Elmo with his hands in the air and the fire behind him. That's how excited I am about this football team. Like, this team is really, really good. So, ladies and gentlemen, you are watching the Code of Conduct podcast live on the Buffalo Rumblings Multicast Network. We are in episode 2 of a 2-part series where Jay Spence, the King, and myself, Joe Miller, are doing our roster projections, our second annual roster projections. We're moving to the backfield, the defensive backfield. Cornerbacks.
Wait, real quick. Did that feel weird for you to say? Like, you were listening to the Code of Conduct. Like, did that roll off weird?
I had to concentrate. I definitely had, and I meant to say so much so that I forgot to say, whether you're watching this now live on YouTube or you're watching it later on YouTube, please do us a favor and subscribe. Like and subscribe. I would tell you to hump that like button, but it's not hump day yet. So that's Wednesday. So please do me a favor. So we gained, I think it was about 10 subscribers from yesterday's show. So if we can keep rolling, we're trying to get to 1,000 subscribers before the season starts. So before we get to the defensive backfield, please do me a favor, jump on that like button and also subscribe to the Buffalo Rumblings so that you can get all of our content. We got a bunch of new fresh programming coming up as the season starts. We haven't even unveiled it yet. There's a lot of good stuff coming up. So you don't want to miss a moment from Buffalo Rumblings. Good stuff. So think of the usual suspects. When you think Buffalo Rumblings, who do you think about? Those shows are coming up during the season this year, so which is really,
it's gonna
really
be fun. Cool. And we got a wild card coming up. It's not even just like the usual suspects. We got a wild card coming up that's going to shock some things. So
yeah.
The backfield, the defensive backfield.
Defensive backfield, cornerbacks. Who you got?
Obviously, Trey is there. You're
keeping Tre'Davious White. Are you serious?
You know, sometimes I question it. I question it, man. I don't, who wants an all-pro cornerback on the rock? You know,
you don't need
but
that
no,
guy.
You know,
you don't
Trey,
need that guy.
Trey White, man, I think this year, same thing kind of like I was saying about Tremaine Edmonds. I think this year, Trey White is going to come out. He feels, at least I hope he does. Yeah, I hope he feels disrespected, because a lot of people have been saying, you know, hey, he's been exposed. I think I had my sister T on here, T Estelle. From Built in Buffalo was on here not too long ago, and she was like, he's been exposed, and I'm like, yeah, but he was still like probably the fifth best cornerback in the league last year. Like, it was just it was just different. Like, he wasn't the first or second, but I don't think he was exposed because he gave up a few more yards. So I think this year, Trey is going to prove a point. I think he's going to come out and make it a thing.
I got to sidebar you for a second. Can I just say real quick, it's great to have the watchers back. So we're live on YouTube right now. For those of you that are going to download this on Tuesday, the numbers are probably double what they normally are as far as when we do these things live, and the love fest that's going on in the comments section between Stephen Campione, Brian Bowers, Richard Rush, all the guys, all the usual suspects. It's like they're kind of coming back together, like the season's about to begin and everybody's feeling it. And it's like, okay, time to get back in Bills mode. I'm just stopping you because I'm enjoying it. So if you have not joined us live ever before, please join us live. It's a lot of fun. And the comment section is great. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. No, the comment section, especially, like, I'm so excited for, like, I'm excited for the first preseason game because, like, when there are games, the engagement is so different. Oh, and, yeah, like, people are hungry to talk about Bills. And during the summertime, it's a grind. It really is. And I don't say that in a way to say it like, yo, I don't want to do the show no more. But during the summertime, it's tough sometimes. So
I'll say it. I don't want to do it in the offseason.
Well, I'm looking forward. Like, oh, man, the preseason. Oh, you don't even understand how excited. Yeah. But so, yeah, I feel like Levi Wallace has that cornerback two on lock. I know last Wednesday, I know, you know, we had our guy John Fina in, and he's like, you know, well, if he looks at it like it's his, you know, like it's his job, then yeah, it's his job to lose. I agree. I do think obviously that, you know, Dane Jackson is going to make the roster. He's not a practice squad guy like last year. He's not going to be called up week 8 or week 6. He's on the roster. He's on the 53. This is where it gets tricky for me with the cornerbacks, because, you know, I just named three. We drafted Wild Goose. Do you think Wild Goose makes the team? We had Hamlin on the roster last year, he's a safety more so, but I know they were kind of trying to try in different places. Saron Neal was one of those guys that's kind of like a plug and play. He can play safety. He can play cornerback. He plays special teams. How do you feel about the cornerback? Because honestly, it gets a little cloudy for me there.
The funny thing about what you're saying to me is, if my memory serves me correctly, you have Stevenson going to the practice squad. Yes.
Yes.
And now we're asking the question about Wild Goose potentially going to the practice squad. So that's two draft picks that the Bills are potentially cutting, when since Bean and McDermott have gotten here, they've only cut two draft picks. So now if you start figuring in that they don't cut draft picks unless they literally like implode in camp and they turn out to be nothing that they thought they were going to be, now you're bumping two more guys off this roster that you and I think are going to make it.
Well, here's the thing. So when I have that take, it's because one, the entire time that they've been here, they've never brought back, they did last year. They pretty much brought back everybody, but this year they brought back everybody.
Right.
And last year we made the AFC Championship. So it's not about, I think a lot of times fans look at that loss a little skewed, like we're hurt.
Sure.
We're hurt. So it's like, yeah, you know, we got to get better and we got to replace and we got to fix. Where I look at it, and I think the team looks at it like, no, we made it to the AFC Championship and we weren't healthy. Like half the roster was playing the game completely injured. Oh, Diggs had broken ribs. You know, Cole Beasley had a broken leg. So when you look at that, I feel like, yeah, they're drafting guys, but they're drafting guys with the intention to develop, hoping that they make the practice roster. You can protect those guys for a certain amount of time. If there's some injuries, then we can move them up. But I think this roster is stacked, and there's no way every single draft pick there's no way. I just don't see it.
I agree. So getting back to my prediction for cornerbacks. So cornerbacks, I've got Trey and obviously Wallace. I'm excited to see the Wallace-Dane Jackson competition. I've got Taron Johnson, I've got Saron Neal, and I've got Cam Lewis. Those are I've got six guys making this team as a cornerback. Those are my six. Trey, Wallace, Dane, Taron, Saron Neal, Cam Lewis. I've got Wild Goose going to the practice squad.
Okay.
He's going to have to show up. He's going to have to show up and show that he's NFL ready, in my opinion, to bump two guys that have been in the system for 2 years already.
I can get jiggy with that take, because I feel like that's the exact – I mean – in fairness, like depending on how many they do keep in that, but I think we have the same idea. Sure, I respect that. My man Steven said he thinks Levi is an enigma because he thinks that against most wide receivers, he's okay and actually pretty good. It's just when he's on those freak athletic guys that he seems to struggle with them. I mean, but who doesn't? Like, you know, like, and not in a negative way towards you, Steve, but Trey struggles sometimes against certain receivers. Like Trey, DeAndre Hopkins ate him, man. He ate him.
Trey struggles when the front in front of him isn't good enough, which is what happened last year. And every defensive back struggles. The difference between Trey, in my opinion, and Levi Wallace, and I'm on record of saying this even last year, is Levi, and I've said this with John Fina, and he agreed, Levi Wallace is a pass-catching tackler. He tackles the guy that catches the pass. And if you look at that team last year, they were not a good tackling football team through weeks one through whatever, 14 or 15. Mm-hmm. Levi Wallace was probably the only guy in that defense that was tackling players assuredly. Everybody else was like slamming a body into somebody, trying to hip check them, trying to knock them down or cut out their legs, whereas Levi was wrapping guys up. The problem is opposing quarterbacks know that if I want to complete this pass, I'm going to throw it at Levi. I'm not going to throw it at Trey. And that's the hard part. That's what has – whereas Dane, in the limited action he got, challenged quarterbacks. When the throws came at him, he challenged those plays. I'd like to see more of that. That's just me, but I think the
– No,
I think
the 100%.
Fina said Wallace is doing exactly what the coaching staff wants from him. They want him to cover his guy and tackle him when he makes the catch, which is, as us as fans, is infuriating. And for them, it's the McDermott clap. Good job.
The Buffalo Bills, on defense are between the 20s team. For fans who don't quite pick up what I mean by that,
yep.
They want the defense to just keep the other team in between the 20s. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can kick a field goal. That's cool. We'll give them 3 points.
Yep.
Don't give up touchdowns. So when you see Levi Wallace, you know, just kind of covering just to tackle, that's why. That's why. So I do want to kind of wrap up the last. We're on safeties now, right? I want to wrap up quickly because I want to end the show, but then like kind of go into the questionnaire portion of it. I got Jordan Poyer, obviously, Micah Hyde, obviously. I have Hamlin making the team, and I also have Jaquan Johnson.
I've got them keeping three. I mean, the safeties, you got one of the best safety duos in the league, you know, Hyde and Poyer. I've got them keeping Jaquan Johnson, and that's it. And then some, you know, Hamlin's probably going to the practice squad, and they'll pull him up as needed. So, yeah, we can.
Yeah.
So that pretty much wraps it up. So, yes, in my opinion.
All right.
So you can move along.
Ladies and gentlemen, first of all, everybody in the chat, everybody that's live with us, do not go anywhere. I'm about to do my normal because I'm about to tell everybody that's listening on the Buffalo Rumblings podcast network, you're missing out because now we're about to go into overdrive. We're about to go into overtime and we're about to spend some time with everybody. We have some special guests, plural, coming in. It's going to be fun. If you do not watch on Monday nights and during the season, Tuesday nights live, if you're not with the Overreaction Show on Sunday nights, you want to start. Because now it's about to go down. So everybody, remember, love each other, take care of each other, and live in peace. And as always, stay positive, test negative, go Bills.
Go Bills.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.